What's up, guys? We are back. New Sons of Liberty. We do want to let you know that we do now have merchandise. We are also working on getting a website up as well. We will have that up. Once we have the website up, we will let you guys know what that is. You will be able to contact us through there. There will be a link to our email, and we should be able to get some images up of the merchandise options that we have available. So we will let you know as soon as we do get that up. We are working on that to have that out as soon as possible.
Yeah, it just takes a few, but...
And remember, guys, we have kind of... Actually, I don't even know if we've mentioned this. We kind of changed things up a little bit with the podcast. We opted to go the route of more traditionally the Sons of Liberty. We decided to make the podcast more of a word-of-mouth thing because... During the American Revolution, it's not like you would just be blasting it out all over the place. Hey, I'm a member of the Sons of Liberty. That would be a good way to probably get, you know, arrested and questioned by the British military forces. So, please do spread the word. Guys, if you enjoy the podcast and you like listening to us, tell your friends, tell your family about us, because we no longer have any social media or anything like that. All we have is the email for you to reach us at, and we will have the website soon, but even then, we're just going to have the website. We're not going to have Twitter, Instagram, any of that stuff. Yeah, Ben, what's the email again?
It is the New Sons of Liberty... 2019 at Gmail. It took me a second.
New Sons of Liberty 2019 at gmail.com. If you guys have questions or you want to hear anything specific for us to talk about, you want to hear our opinions on, definitely shoot us an email. We're happy to talk about it. We're happy to interact with you guys. You guys are the Minutemen. You're what keeps us going and makes it so this is fun for us, knowing that we have a pretty consistently loyal listener base.
Yeah,
I'd say pretty much every episode, and slowly increasing. So I'm happy to share that with you guys that since we started the podcast, we have it consistently increased our listenership. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every month we go up. So thank you guys, because it you know, it's a sign of growth, and it's nice to see that
it
with
is.
Something we're doing. But yeah, we don't really talk about it a lot, but you guys, we've called you guys this before, but you are the Minutemen, all right? That's kind of what I like calling our fans, because
it makes sense. I mean,
you know, it fits with it.
Everyone has like a name for their, like, the people that watch them or listen to them, or there's always some sort of, what is that? Ooh, I like that. That's nice. Yeah, everyone always has some sort of name. You know what I mean? There's always like the Tapman Army is a streamer. There's the M Fam is another streamer. Well, there's always.
I don't know those at all.
Well, you're not a big video game.
Do you know the Minifans?
I mean, I know it's Kirk Minahan's thing, yeah. But yeah, no, M-Fam
Stoolies.
Is... Barstool, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Beliebers, that's me.
Beliebers.
Never say never, bitch.
But yeah, what were we just talking about before we came on? We were talking about booster shots.
We were talking about a lot.
I know, we had a lot going on. Talking about how the Mexican-American War was wild.
Yeah, we were talking about because we just, like, wanted territory and then walked up and we're like, hey, we're just gonna... start a war. They basically just put them on the border and we're like, yeah, just wait until they shoot at you or get angry at you enough and then just invade them and then we'll beat them and then we'll take their shit.
Yeah.
That's literally what happened. We just went in and took all their shit and then that was it.
If any of you guys are not familiar with the Mexican-American War, happened in the... Oh, Jesus, I'm going to fuck the dates up. I think it's the
1840s.
I think it's 1845 to 1848.
During the gold rush, right around there.
I think. It was right after, because we got
that was
Mexico's
the kind of part
territory.
Of it. Yeah, I was going to say, that was a big part of the...
California. We got it from them, and then we were like, holy shit!
Yeah.
There's gold! Oh, how bad do you think the Mexicans felt after that?
I mean, I don't
oh
think
my
that...
God.
I'm sure they were probably pretty pissed beforehand, though.
Fuck.
If I were them, I don't think... I mean, I'd be a lot more angry, but still, I'd be... I mean, look, how do you think any of these people... How do you think Native Americans feel?
No,
like,
I just mean the fact
all
that
the oil,
you...
Like, just...
like, that you were pretty relatively major... major power. Like, Mexico wasn't a fucking joke. They were had just recently broken away from the Spanish Empire.
Think of how much power they would, like, if they had all of that gold and land, though, and all of that resources. If we weren't such assholes.
But if you guys are unaware, real fast history lesson. So, Texas used to be part of Mexico's territory. You know, hence why today Texas has a very Hispanic aspect to its culture.
As well as Arizona, New Mexico, yeah. California, and maybe Nevada?
Yes.
I don't know
yes.
if Nevada
yep.
was.
Okay. I think Nevada was. But yeah, a lot of territory that we now have was under Mexico's control. And Texas was very lightly inhabited. So the Mexican government welcomed American settlers in just to boost the population. And the agreement was you come into Texas, you know, the Americans come into Texas, they had to convert to Roman Catholicism and they had to obey Mexican laws. Those were the stipulations of the agreement to allow Americans to settle. And what happened was so many Americans started coming to Texas, like massive amounts of them. So it got to the point where Mexico was like, okay, there's way too many people coming in. It got to the point, I think it was like, there were 25 to 1 in terms of Americans to Mexican ratio. What you doing with the sound right now?
No, to keep going.
Okay. But they were like, oh, number 25 to 1. The actual Mexican people in Texas. And then when they basically tried to like clamp down on them, Texas revolted. You had the Texas Revolution, where these Texans who, you know, they're Americans, but in reality at this point they weren't. They were Mexican citizens that rebelled and won the fight and became the Republic of Texas with Sam Houston was the first and only president of Texas, the Republic of Texas. And then Mexico was like, yeah, we're going to get our fucking territory back. So Texas basically came to its big brother America. It was like, hey, let us into the Union. Long story short, they do end up joining the Union. And then there's debates with Mexico over who the fuck owns this land. And then James K. Polk has Zachary Taylor and the U.S. Army sit on the Rio Grande and basically provoke the Mexicans into attacking them.
Keep poking them. They attack us. We beat them pretty handily.
We did.
Took most of the western part of our country, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
And ever since then?
In 3 years.
And ever since then, we've been mostly peaceful. Mostly.
Oh, you mean between us and Mexico?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No war. I mean,
our relationship
with Mexico
is great,
though. We have a little
issues,
but I was going to say.
That's one thing.
We have a little spats, but overall, I think we're pretty kindred nations as one another, I think.
I think everybody, especially when Trump was president, had this weird image that, like, us and Mexico didn't get along. And it's like Mexico is still probably in our top three allies.
You have to be
Canada, Mexico.
You're at a disadvantage in not being very good friends and allies with the people direct. Even
if
you're like, oh, Mexico is like power wise a smaller like.
Yeah, they're not really.
They're a decent sized country, but like in terms of military, you know what I mean. But still, it's like
they're not very well organized.
Still, wouldn't want to mess with them, especially if like you're at war with someone else and they're at war with. You know what I mean? Like you'd rather them be on your side than have a strategic enemy. Right there.
Do you know how?
Plus, Mexicans are good people.
They are. They're a good people.
And they've influenced
a good culture.
Like, I was gonna say, I'm like they've influenced so much of our culture at this point. It's like it's so ingrained in our
society.
Well,
they're part of our culture.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you want to know something that's fucking crazy? That from 1910 to 1917, 7% of Mexico's population moved to the United States.
Jesus, really?
7% of their population in 7 years. 1910 to 1917, immigrated from Mexico to the United States. It was because of, like, extreme political turmoil.
Hundreds
of
thousands, man. Like,
millions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would assume they probably had at least, like, 100... Hold on.
They probably have, like...
Well, how big...
They probably have, like,
what?
10,
how
10
big
million.
Mexico? I
can look this up real quick. Hold on.
Yeah, how fucking big is Mexico, population-wise? I'm going to guess 54 million.
Currently?
Yeah, right now. I would guess Mexico has a population of 54.
Wow, that is way bigger than I thought.
Is it 100 million?
127 million people. Holy shit, dude. That's huge.
That's almost as
that's
big
bigger
as
than
Russia.
Russia,
I think, has like 150.
That's four times the population of Canada. Wow.
You keep fucking going on.
Can't believe it.
Canada,
can't fucking believe it, dude. Absolutely mind-blowing to me. Mind-blowing.
Yeah, fuck it. Why?
Can't believe it.
Why does that surprise
you? Look how big
you?
They fucking
yeah,
are.
Yeah, but there's fucking nothing there. It's literally tundra.
There's
the
nothing,
northern,
there's nothing
no.
in Russia, and there's still a... I mean,
there's
I know they're bigger.
In Russia.
Yeah, not in the top half.
Yeah, but also...
They're bigger.
That fucking amount of land... That Russia, where the heaviest Russian population is like the same size as Canada.
Even like the UK. I mean, I understand the UK is very heavily
the UK's
populated.
Fucking gross.
They have 67 million people, and they're like the size of like half of Florida. No, I'm not. You know what I mean?
They're
not massive. And
probably
I should,
the size of Florida.
And I should well hold on now because I'm thinking of England, and the UK is actually like
I'm saying the British Isles.
Yeah,
the British Isles.
Yeah, no, so they're decent size, but. I mean, compared to us. And, come on. You know what I mean?
They're like the size of New England.
Yeah.
All
you know,
of,
I thought about
England.
That. I think
they're
we should just...
Tiny.
I love being from Massachusetts, and I think we should still keep the things. But I think when people compare things now, and they're like, oh, like, you know, this thing or that thing, I think they should just compare it as New England to everyone instead of just Massachusetts. Because Massachusetts is so small. It's Rhode Island is so small. Massachusetts is so small. It's unfair. We're not even a state. How can you compare us with New York? We're not even a or Texas. But if you compare New England, because we're all like-minded, we all like the same team for the most part. Most of New England...
Can't count Connecticut in that.
Connecticut's not part of New England, so that's fine.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. No, are you fucking retarded? Connecticut's part of New England.
Listen, two things. One, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm
and if,
fully,
and if
I'm
wrong,
fully
and Connecticut,
aware that you're wrong.
And Connecticut is a part of New England, no fucking one wants idiot. It to be a part of New England, so it can fuck off and go be a part of New York. No one likes Connecticut. Rhode Island, you can take it with you. Both of them. Connecticut and Rhode Island can go somewhere else. Apologies to the viewers, but I feel like most of them would agree.
New England encompasses six total states. Maine,
New Hampshire
Vermont, Massachusetts,
Rhode Island,
Connecticut, and Rhode Island.
Yeah, exactly. So take those other two and just throw them into the ocean. And then you just keep
other
Maine...
Two. Who the fuck else are you throwing in the ocean?
Rhode Island. First and foremost, Rhode Island. Before any other
Why?
State.
Why? Because they were the assholes that didn't fit in Massachusetts,
Bro.
So we kicked them out? Roger Williams?
I just really have a bone to pick with Rhode Island. I just do.
Why? Because it's the size of... It's smaller than Israel.
I just do.
And for some reason, it's a state.
Providence is a fun city to be around when you're not there at night and you're not worried about getting robbed.
I was about to say, Providence is sketchy shit.
Providence is super sketchy, so isn't Warwick and everywhere else. Their casino is
it
like...
is sketchy as fuck.
Their casino, fucking Twin River, is good, but in comparison, it's like, meh. They got rid of the fucking Paw Sox, so now there's just nothing there. Their drivers are fucking terrible.
Yes, or
their
ours.
Stupid fucking plates are an ocean wave. Cool.
What's ours?
You're the ocean.
Ours is nothing.
All right, but you're the ocean.
We don't have anything on
you're
our fucking
You're the ocean
plate.
State, right? You're the ocean state. Who goes and raves about... Okay, Newport, fair enough. Who raves about Rhode Island's beaches? Who goes around the country and goes, I'm going to Rhode Island?
I think Massachusetts has better beaches than Rhode
yeah,
Island.
The Cape.
Like Cape Cod is actually known.
Yeah, you know
like
where the ocean state should be? Like fucking, I don't know, somewhere.
South Carolina.
On the ocean. Yeah, like Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
Or like Florida. I know they're the Sunshine State, but or I don't know, California or like somewhere that.
Where like
fucking
most of the state is coastal.
Rhode Island.
Maine.
Rhode Island.
I don't know, man.
They should be called the afterthought
state. Do they
state.
Have the largest ocean border? In terms of, like, the size of their state?
Per
you,
size?
You know what I'm
probably, like, yeah. They're probably, their border is probably, I was going to say there's not a fucking chance because of Texas and Florida, but in terms of size
the
of their
size
state.
The size of the state, yeah. I wonder if that is what it is. But,
I don't know. It's formulated to attract tourism and appears on non-commercial. All Rhode Islanders live within a 30 or less minute drive to the Atlantic Ocean or Narragansett Bay.
That's actually kind of cool.
Top question on Google is, why is Rhode Island the ocean?
Why is Rhode Island
the ocean?
I don't know, man.
What state has the longest name? Massachusetts. I mean, it was either Tennessee or Massachusetts. I feel like it was... One or the other, but
yeah.
I guess Mississippi could be a good one.
Mississippi could be up there too. Do you know what I feel like people forget?
What?
That Texas is a coastal state.
Yeah, it's right on the Gulf.
Like, they have a massive coastline.
Yeah, but you don't hear anyone talk about the beaches in Texas. It's always Houston and Austin and
San
Antonio and whatever.
Those beaches got to be nice, though. You know how warm the water probably is? It's in the Gulf of Mexico.
It's like a well-kept secret.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's why they don't fucking advertise it. They're like, we don't want people ruining our goddamn, you know,
quiet
beaches.
I don't know. I don't know why they don't.
Like, Alabama's a coastal state, too.
Yeah, it's the Gulf Shore.
Yeah.
Yes, it's...
Did you know that...
That's really popular, though. I know. Like, my brother...
Is it? Alabama's coastline
My brother
is...
used to... The Gulf Shore, yeah. I mean, it's... My brother used to live down there.
So
I think that's what it's called, the Gulf Shore.
I didn't realize... And this is totally because I'm from New England. Our fucking Yankee shit up here. I think Alabama, and I think of... honestly, I hear Alabama, I think of a couple things. One, the positive, great barbecue. That's one thing. I think really good barbecue. I think of their obsession with college football.
Roll Tide.
But I also think of, like, rednecks.
Like, I think imagine, Alabama, like, mobile homes.
Yeah.
But like Birmingham is actually very nice.
So, I was looking into
Tuscaloosa,
that.
Tuscaloosa, all of them.
Did you know that I think it's Mobile is, very quickly becoming, like, the tech hub of the world? Did you know that?
I really find that hard to believe.
Of companies are moving there. I guess I'm assuming it's because it's really cheap. You know what I mean? And there's probably a lot of room. There's probably a ton of room and cheap land and, you know what I mean? Cheap taxes. But I was reading
God
that the other day that I think it's Mobile has, in the last, like, 10 years, massively increased the amount of, like, tech companies there and... Are you looking it up?
No.
No, oh, okay. I don't know. Stop fucking with the computer. I'll check it out. Fucking Mobile.
No,
Mobile,
God,
Alabama.
No offense to anyone in Alabama. I'm sure it's... But God help us if Mobile becomes a center of technology and influence in our country. God help us. Because just...
I said in the world. Oh.
Yeah. God help us. All the big cities. London, New York, Hong Kong. Fucking... I mean, I want to say Baghdad, but obviously not right now. But Dubai, like anywhere like that, and it's like Mobile, Ala freaking Bama.
We'll see.
Like,
that's because we have the New England thing. We hear the accent, we think they're fucking retarded.
But I feel like that's not a New England thing. I feel like stereotypes don't fall out of the sky.
Like, well, no, stereotypes don't fall out of the sky, but the idea of thinking that they're stupid is definitely like a New England thing. Or maybe not a New England thing, but it's a Union at the time of the Civil War mentality. So
I just feel like they, like many Southern states, don't often do much to dissuade people of that opinion, if that makes sense. Like when you see, like you don't.
I don't know. When I'm actually in those Southern states, it does dissuade me because I think the people are very nice and they don't seem stupid at all. They seem completely normal.
Stupid, normal, and nice are three different things. You can be nice and normal and fucking an idiot at the same time.
Well, I just said they don't seem stupid.
But have you really ever had, like an actual, like, conversation with them? Not, like, I mean, like, a conversation...
Yes, I have.
Like, about politics or, like, a real proper, like...
Yeah, I just have political conversations with random...
Well, yeah, like, obviously they're not going to sound stupid if you're like, hey, how are you? They're like, oh, I'm good, how are you? Oh, no, just, you know, hang with the kids. Like, yeah, they sound normal. But if you actually ask them, like... Like, shit that, you know what I mean? That, like, actually requires in-depth thought and discussion. That's when I would be curious. Not that I'm saying people up here fucking go to Murph and Southie and be like, fucking Yaddo.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
like,
some pretty fucking stupid people.
Correct,
up here.
But per capita. I feel like the average of stupid people is higher there than in other places. I could be wrong.
Okay.
I went to the South and it was a very nice place.
I'm gonna read something about Mobile, Alabama. Let's see what we think. Considered one of the Gulf Coast's cultural centers, Mobile has several art museums, a symphony orchestra, professional opera, professional ballet company, and a large concentration of historic architecture. Mobile is known for having the oldest organized carnival or Mardi Gras celebrations in the United States.
My apologies to the people of Mobile. I'm gonna call it Mobile now instead of Mobile.
Why?
I don't know. I like saying it that way. Mobile. Like that.
I didn't know that. That, like, they're a Mardi Gras hub? That what did it say? It's older than the celebration in New Orleans?
I was gonna say. I would have thought Louisiana.
Yeah.
New Orleans.
I'm just looking to see. I swear to God, I saw something about how it's like very quick. You know what? Fuck this. I'm just gonna. Let's try Mobile, Alabama. Mobile Technology. I just realized that Mobile is also spelled
Mobile,
which isn't exactly gonna help. Let's try Mobile, Alabama.
Greenbow, Alabama. Sorry.
Right there. The major factors for Mobile's economy are medicine and research, retail trade, aerospace, construction, manufacturing, and technology. I had no idea that like, again, and I think it's because I have this thing, dude, where I'm like, I think of, you know, Mobile, Alabama, and I'm just like, oh, it's probably a lot of rural, like, farmers, and it's like, what is this, the fucking 1860s, asshole? Like, they have fucking cities. Mobile has a population of 200,000 fucking people. It's not, like, a little place. It's a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. But it's just, like, when you like, literally look at the South, like, obviously they have, like, their counties are fucking huge. And everything's way more spread out, but, like...
Yeah, their counties actually matter.
Yeah, but they...
Unlike ours, in terms of...
Right, but, like, you look up, like... There's obviously, like, Broward County, Dade County, and Florida. Like, those are fucking huge.
Famous. Right?
I think, like, those two in particular are, like, two of, if not the two biggest. Well, I think like, Cook County, King County, and, like, those two are,
well,
like,
they're actually bigger. Is it just that they have major cities in them? Like, isn't Dade big, County... Dade County has Miami in it, right?
Yeah, Miami-Dade County.
Yeah, so it's, like... If Miami wasn't in it, would anybody have, like, who
cares? Yeah, but I mean, you could say the same thing about Suffolk County. Like, Boston's a fucking...
Who the fuck knows about Suffolk County, other than people in Massachusetts?
I mean, some people, I'm sure, do. Whitey and shit.
What?
Whitey.
Whitey.
Shit. Documentaries.
He's from Massachusetts. Oh, you're saying people...
Dang, like, I'm sure people have heard of it. I guess. Like, I know Cook County is Chicago from all the rappers I listen to. Like, it's... I know King County is New York.
I didn't know that.
King County.
I know Orange County because of that show.
There's multiple Orange County. There's Orange County, New Jersey. There's Orange County, California.
You know the one I'm fucking talking about.
Orange County Choppers.
90210. Oh, wait, that's Beverly Hills.
One. I'm like, that's...
I don't fucking know. Who the fuck cares?
Anyways, this is segueing perfectly into something I wanted to talk about.
Oh, Jesus.
No, it's not.
Is this going to be the utopian city?
Yeah.
All right. Fucking sick. I did not read the article, so...
It looks sick.
Lay it out for me. Tell me all about it.
So, supposedly, the CEO, or I don't think he's the founder, the CEO of Walmart is trying to create a city.
That family's still involved, though, aren't they? The
Marts?
No, what about, what's it, Wallen? Is it Wallen or something? I don't. Their family's still involved. I know they are. Like, they actually still own the company.
I was going to say, I have no idea. So, it's called, I don't know if it's Telosa or Telosa, but it's supposed to be an...
Telosa?
T-E-L-O-S-A, Telosa, like Telos, the Greek god of something. Telos, I think is... Well, I have to look it up.
Let me see the spelling.
T-E-L-O-S-A, Telosa, Telosa.
Oh, Telosa, yeah, no, I guess.
Uh-huh. Not Telosa, Telosa. An entirely sustainable city that could soon house millions of people.
Telosa's in Alabama.
Tuscaloosa is in Alabama.
Fuck!
Roll time.
Roll time!
Woo! Coach Saban would fucking...
Were we talking about how people in the South are stupid?
I knew where it was.
Well, no, I didn't say Tuscaloosa.
Tuscaloosa, I'm like...
Tuscaloosa!
Like, you mean Tuscaloosa.
No, Tuscaloosa's in Alabama. You mean Tuscaloosa.
Where are you from? I'm from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They're like, what?
What?
You're from where?
I'm from some little town. I don't know where that is.
It was my whole life.
I'm like, that's where Deontay Wilder is from, bitch.
No,
Bronze bitch. Speaking of boxing, I'm sorry. I'll let you continue the story in one moment.
Tits.
Finally, it's happening.
Well, Wilder Fury 3? Or Anthony Joshua?
Oh, fuck. Actually, now I'm confused. No, it's Wilder Fury 3, right?
Well, I think so.
I think that's what it is. I think the Joshua Fury fight got that's yeah. off the table.
For Anthony Joshua's a poos.
Yeah, but Wilder Fury 3 fucking what was it? Fury got COVID. That's why they had to push the fight.
You know what that was?
Yeah, that's why they had to push the fight back. But I think now they're rescheduled, good to go. I can't wait for that. I can't wait. There are a lot of people talking shit about Wilder. Like, he doesn't deserve the fight. I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
Hey, Dev.
I'm like, of course he does. Are you on fucking drugs?
Especially with those two guys. I'm like, bro, look at the size of them. Yeah. They were fucking match made for each other to fight each other. They're both like 6'7 and huge. Like,
I do think that Tyson Fury is a much better fighter than Wilder. I think Wilder, and I'm hoping he's improved, because if he hasn't, I think Fury's going to beat the shit out of him again. But,
bro,
I think Wilder is not a very skilled boxer.
He's powerful.
He's a brawler. But his boxing technique is sorely lacking.
I could not believe Tyson Fury got up from that.
Oh, in the first fight? Where he I thought he was dead.
I watched that live and I was like, there is not a fucking chance. He shot up like someone put bat like smelling salts. I was like, what the fuck?
Do you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember when The Undertaker would come out?
Like, raised from the dead? Yeah, I'm like, dude, like.
I was like, oh shit.
I watched that, I'm like, he's not, like, after I watched that, I'm like, there is no way he loses this fight. If you can get up from that, dude, there
is. He got.
He hit you with all he's got.
Fucking nailed.
He hit you with his hardest punch, man. I'm like.
Deontay Wilder hit me in the head as hard as I would die. He would kill a normal person. Actually kill. He'd probably break your skull.
Or your neck would just snap.
Yeah, like, I don't think people appreciate how powerful these fighters are. Some of these fighters, not all of them, obviously, but, like, Wilder, he could kill you. If he hit you in the head, you could die. Fucking, and he put
I let him kick my ass.
He put Fury down. Like, he put him down, and Fury popped back up. Like, what was it, on the 9 count, right? Like,
it was on, like, 7 or 8, yeah. And I've even watched, like, interviews, and people are like, I don't know how the fuck, I don't know. Even Deontay Wilder was like, dude, I don't know how he got up. Like, dude, fucking that man wild. Is possessed. Like, I don't know how he got up off that ground, because, bro, you got hit with a cinder block.
Absolutely fucking wild.
Yeah, you're trying to get away from talking about my sustainable
cinder block. No, go ahead.
You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to be a part of the future. Future.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, an entirely sustainable city that could soon house millions of people. So Mark Lohr, which is the, I guess he's some sort of CEO, I think, for Walmart, I said. Apparently he wants to make a metropolis of the future, is what they're calling it. It will be built in the southwest in the area of, like, Arizona, probably in, like, the Mojave or whatever, or that area. Mm-hmm. And house up to 5 million residents. But supposedly,
Jesus fucking Christ.
But, like, if you look at the pictures of it, it looks futuristic. Not, like, futuristic, like neon and stuff. It looks futuristic. Like, I don't even know how to explain it.
Like New Mombasa and Halo.
Kind of, yeah. But, like, it looks like the skyscraper.
That's what I thought of when I saw it.
The skyscrapers have a very, like, I don't even know. They have, like, a very webby type design to them. They kind of look like, sort of like a big version, a tall, elongated version of that stadium in Beijing with the metal. It looks kind of like, it's got some hole.
I don't know what that is.
Some people. You have to look at pictures, but they almost look like vases. Like, they kind of look like a plant. It's like a planter.
I see what you're saying.
Or like a big like bongo drum.
Oh, the big old bongo
drum. Oh, the bongo drum! But supposedly, it's going to be like some giant, massive city that's going to cost like $40 billion to start, and at the end will end up being like $400 billion. It's supposed to be like the model of the future for, like, sustainability and future cities and how they need to progress and build new buildings and shit like that.
Can we go back to neoclassical architecture?
No.
Why?
Because people can't handle that stuff without fucking, like, I feel like people can't handle that stuff nowadays. Like, people don't have a respect for things like that. Kids nowadays would draw dicks all over, like, statues that took people 20 years.
They did that in ancient Rome.
Oh.
What do you think, the fucking kids didn't graffiti shit in ancient Rome?
I mean, fucking I feel like that. I kind of didn't. Like, there were.
Oh, yes.
The kids nowadays, you know what I mean? Like.
Oh, no, dude. Graffiti was, like, a big thing in ancient Rome. Those big, beautiful buildings had graffiti on.
I also lied. It's not Walmart. He founded e-commerce giant Jet.com.
Okay, so this is a completely fucking unknown person.
No, I've heard of Jet. It's the purple little logo. It's like a wafer. I've definitely heard of them. You can buy like groceries and shit.
I have no idea what that is.
I've definitely heard of them. If I remember correctly, it's a J with the two dots. The name is derived from the Greek word for higher purpose. It would be built on the idea of equitism, a twist on capitalism centered around community ownership. So I'm curious to see how it works.
That sounds like
initially, the land will be donated to a community endowment, which will use the money made, blah, 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 services and ensure every single citizen has equal access to health care, housing, education, and transportation. And supposedly, it's going to be built with a design that if you live and work in the city, everything is within, like, 15 minutes away, whether it's the transportation system they put in, some sort of monorail.
Would this be part of the United States?
It's going to be built in the middle of Arizona.
I understand that.
Yeah, it's just supposed to be a new city that's going to be like a model of like future cities. So,
has it ever hit you that there are a lot of mini countries inside the United States?
Yeah, macro. What do they call those? Micronations?
No, you're talking about whatever. Yeah, I know. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Indian reservations.
I mean, yeah. What about it?
Like, isn't that wild? Like, they have their own laws.
I mean, yeah.
Like, they are a separate country inside the United States.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I think it is. I think it's wicked interesting.
I was reading a thing about, like, police dispatchers who have to work in areas like that, like in Oklahoma and, like, out in the Midwest and West.
There's a lot of them in Oklahoma.
Where, like, they'll dispatch, like, 8 or 10 towns, and not one of those towns, but their jurisdiction falls with, like,
inside.
X amount of acres or X amount of land for an Indian reservation, and it's, like, how the jurisdiction, you know what I mean? Like, if they get a call, and it's like, oh, this person did this, and then they went on, you know, they drove onto the reservation, it's like, can you send officers, or it's like, do you call, like, whoever it is?
I think you have to call
the reservation and be like, hey, we just got a call.
Local police to deal with it.
Yeah, and be like, hey, we got a call, like, they, you know, they were coming this road, and blah, 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 blah. Which is what I think is how it is. And I mean, I feel like they earned it.
I mean,
I don't know about necessarily, I don't know if they earned to be their own country, but especially not in our own country, like, if you gave them a state, but, like, to make them their own country inside of another state is weird.
Why don't we make a state? Like, why doesn't the government actually take a state and be like, this is going to be, like, and, like, name the state Native America?
I mean, because, A, like, I feel like it's just, like, it's 150 years. Like, it's just, what's the point? Not what's the point. I mean, I'm sure.
A lot of these people whose lives are really fucked up.
Yeah, but what are you?
There's a lot of poverty and some people will be like, you're fucking stereotyping. And I'm like, no, I'm going off the statistics. There's a lot of poverty, a lot of alcoholism, and a lot of fucking teen pregnancy in Native populations.
But like,
they're not in good shape, and it makes me fucking sad.
No, but I'm not like. I mean, you can't just like. Like, you can't just go to Colorado or wherever and just be like, hey, you guys aren't Colorado anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure people.
No, but couldn't you? There's gotta be. I mean, think about some of the states that are gigantic, huge states where there's like barely anyone there. Think about like Wyoming. Wyoming has a population, I think, of 680,000 people.
Get the fuck out of here.
You think I'm joking?
Bro, what are these populations? Massachusetts has a population of like 9 million.
It's like 8 or 9 million, yeah.
Jesus, dude.
Hold on. Why don't we take a look?
I wonder why everyone here is so angry. Rep everyone's fucking ass.
Never mind. Wyoming has a population of 586,000 people.
I'm moving to Wyoming.
That's what I always say, dude. And it's beautiful.
Now, I want to move to Bozeman, to be honest with you. Bozeman, Montana,
right?
Montana.
Yeah.
Big sky country.
But, like, something like that, right? I think I did the math once for square mileage. I think you can fit 8 Massachusetts in Wyoming. If not more. It might be more than that. But it's like at least 8. And I'm like, wait a minute. So you have a big...
Do they have Fenway Park?
No, they
Do they have Regina's?
Maybe.
Do they have a Dunks? I thought so.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Sully, you hear this guy? Wants to move to Montana. Wyoming.
But, like, a state like that, where you have 500,000 fucking people, and the state is massive, it's like, you couldn't, like, break that state up, you know what I mean? Like, the land, and make, create new states, and literally have those new states be Native American states.
I don't know if that would be better or worse.
I think the term Native American needs to fucking go.
I don't know. I don't know what... I don't know. We always grew up calling them Indians, and then everyone told us not to call them Indians because they prefer Native Americans.
But then I think...
Everyone called them Native Americans, and they're like, well, it wasn't America when we were here, we don't want to be called... It's like, I don't know.
I'm not even saying that. I think most... And I'll say Indians. I think most Indians don't like being called Native Americans. I remember reading some stuff that said they don't like being called Indians, but they prefer being called either A, whatever their tribe is. That's number one.
A lot of people like indigenous people or persons.
They have no issue with American Indian. They have no issue with that at all.
American Indian is fine, but like I'm telling you, like that's... The people get like... It's legit, like, and that's part of the reason they're like, you're insensitive or like, you shouldn't use that term. It's like my whole life.
You're not a Native American.
For one.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, people of Native American, not that, I mean, I'm sure they exist in small numbers, but because we fucking pushed every Native American from this part of the country to the west.
Oh, we have a Native American reservation in Massachusetts.
I know, but
do you know where it is?
It's
in the nicest part of the state.
The Berkshires?
Nope. What is a remote, like the nicest part of the state? We're talking, like, top class.
The nicest part of the state in Massachusetts?
Martha's Vineyard.
Okay. I was going to say Oak Bluffs, and I was like, Martha's Vineyard is in Massachusetts, so it's a different thing.
There's an Indian reservation on Martha's Vineyard.
Oak Bluffs is like, it's $50.
What is it? The tribe, it's the Wampanoag of Gayhead, which is funny, but... I think that's what it is. Or no, I think the town is called Gayhead.
Yeah.
And it's the Wampanoag tribe of Gayhead. But yeah, no, there's an Indian reservation on Martha's Vineyard.
I don't know that. But
go ahead.
Well, I don't remember what I was going to say.
But I think the term Native American, we should stop using that, and not for any sensitivity reasons, but because it doesn't make any fucking sense. We are Native Americans. We were born here. This is our native homeland.
Well, and so that's the thing. I'm like, maybe that term didn't make sense for a while, but anyone after like 20 years of being here, like anyone who was born here, it's like, yeah, like maybe we're like the children of like immigrants from years and years ago. But like, I was born here. I was raised here. Everything I know is here. Like, I am a native American.
Yeah, you're a native
in quotations.
You are a native born American.
To America. I am not a Native American. I am not indigenous, of course, by any means. I mean, maybe somewhere along.
Well, there's a difference between saying, you are an indigenous person.
No, I'm not a Wampanoag or a Shawmut or something like that.
You could say you're not a First Nations person.
Isn't that what Canadians?
Isn't that what Canadians call the Indigenous people of Canada, First Nations?
I don't know. I know in Australia it's Aboriginals or Aboriginals.
Right, right. I think in Canada they call them First Nations.
I don't know. I will call anyone of that persuasion whatever they would like to be called. If you want to be called an Indigenous person, sure. You want to be called Native American? Sure. American Indian? Sure. Indian? Sure. Chad? Sure. A Wampanoag? Sure. I don't know. I'm white. I don't know. This is out of my league. I don't know.
Well, you're like half like white. You got that Germanic blood.
I do. But I feel like as white
people go... You also got
that
Celtic blood, which...
But I feel like as white people go, I'm not like the New Balance, like super like goofy white guy.
Yeah, you're not a wasp.
I get along with everyone. I'm like the cool white guy.
Can we talk about that for a minute?
I'm the cool white guy.
Can we talk about that for a minute? The difference between like white Americans and wasps.
I don't know what a wasp is. So, white. I heard a wasp... real quick, not to interrupt you. I actually heard this term for the first time, like, a week ago. Apparently, some book is coming out. And is it, like, some sort of socialite back in, like, the 20s or 30s or something that was a wasp?
What?
White Anglo-Saxon... No, white Anglo-Saxon person?
Protestant.
Protestant? Is that what it is? A wasp, okay.
A wasp, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And it's like... That, a wasp, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, is...
Like the hoity-toity.
White.
Yeah, like the hoity-toity white people.
Like, you are Germanic, so that, like, part of you is waspish, but it's like, you're also Irish, which is not fucking Anglo-Saxon or Protestant.
And as I... Well, that's not entirely true, because my father is Scottish and his family is Protestant. Now, as I mentioned before, not that there's probably a lot of older people
who
listen to this.
You're Catholic, aren't you?
I'm technically Catholic. Well, I was raised Catholic.
Yeah, you're raised Catholic.
Correct. However...
And you're Irish.
I am. Now, keep... Well, I'm also Scottish. But keep that in mind.
Are you real? I didn't fucking know. Oh, no, wait. What am I talking about? I knew you were
Scottish. My father is Scottish. My mother... But that... You don't understand.
Wait, where's the German?
My father as well. You don't understand. So my father's mother is, his family is Scottish. My father's father is born and raised, like, spoke German, like, dead straight, spoke German his whole life, watched German movies with American subtitles.
Like, he was in a concentration camp, right?
No, he was
like
here.
Up in one of the guard towers.
No, he was a U.S. soldier and gave up his citizenship when he came to this country.
Have you ever looked into your German ancestry?
Yeah, I've looked into it, especially because so. Long story short, he was born and raised in Poland, but it was an area of Poland.
Ooh.
It was an area of Poland that at the time was like a German, like, not like a subset, but like
it was a Germanic population.
It was like
it was
the people identified themselves as German, and it was like it was like a German enclave.
It was like the Sudetenland.
It was not technically German, but it was German.
Well, yeah, so Austria.
So he didn't consider himself German. Polish from Ireland. He spoke German. He identified himself
German.
As German. He spoke everything. He considered himself German.
Well, yeah, it's like Adolf Hitler was not... Like, he's
but
ethnically German.
But technically, he was Polish, I think. But because,
your grandfather, not Hitler.
No, no, correct. My grandfather. But technically, he was Polish. But the problem is technically we think he was Polish. But he was also kind of sort of German, depending on, like, what year you look at. Like, there was a lot of shit.
Well,
it was World War II. Well, a lot of that part of those countries moved shit around. Like, things got changed. So it was like, I read a thing and it was like, oh, well, if he came here to the United States...
Well,
between,
what was he ethnically, though? You said he spoke German.
He spoke German, but it doesn't matter. Where it's what his birth certificate says. Which says
well, no, I understand that, but I mean...
Ethnically, like, he was German.
So he was an ethnic German.
He spoke German. He was born right on the border of Germany.
Culturally, was German.
Identified himself as German. Watched, like, German. Okay. That's why I identify myself with, like, I watched the German national team. I went to Germany because even though my heritage is more... He watched German movies all his life. He watched it with my father. It's like, it's just... But, like, I read it and it was like, yeah, he was in the military here... Which means, technically, like, there was a point where it was like, oh, if he moved to the U.S. before the 1960s or something, he technically can still have his Polish citizenship as well as his American citizenship, which would mean that I can get dual citizenship in Poland because I could get it through birthright, through my grandfather.
Right, I can, yeah, I think I can get Italian
correct.
Citizenship.
Correct, so I can't do it through my grandparents because I'm one generation away. My Irish ancestry is my great-grandparents, not just my grandparents. My mother could do it, not me. So I could get... My mother could, I can't. And so I tried looking up Polish or German ancestry, and it was like, oh, if you do it before 1960 or whatever, there's this whole rule. But if he served in the military in the United States or another country of a foreign government, he automatically renounces his Polish citizenship, and it's not to be given back... So
did
I have
you,
to, like, talk with an actual person at the embassy and be like,
right.
Is he or is he
yeah.
not a citizen?
Tell me,
like,
what the fuck.
Am I Polish or am I German? Can I get a thing or not?
Well,
like, I can't figure it out. There's 100 laws. I'm like, I don't know. No idea. I spent hours.
You should look into seeing what your family was doing roundabouts and before World War I. Like, you should see if your family was, like, in the German Empire. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I have.
Were they part of the Kaiserreich?
Well, I've went like because I mean,
which is the coolest name such for a country
sick name
ever.
Well, and like, so I've obviously like I have a lot of free time, so like, you know, not free time, but my job, I just kind of. Well, we're not busy. I'm just sitting there. So I've done ancestry, and like, my mother's maiden name is Murphy, so finding that in Ireland is a challenge to say the least. Like,
yeah.
When it's like, oh, when did they come over to this country? It's like the 1920s. It's like, oh, it's the same as everyone. It's like pretty much, yeah. It was either like the 1880s to the 1920s, or yep, like the 1850s to the, you know what I mean?
That's, I'm
like,
the age of immigration.
And where did they come into the country? New York, Ellis Island. Ellis Island. They're like, okay, yeah. But you're not helping us at all. Like, I'm like, no. No, I'm not, because you probably have 100,000 people that came in with that name, and much like Roman and a lot of cultures, everyone has the same name. I was talking to a guy who...
The Italian name Rossi.
So Rossi?
Rossi, R-O-S-S-I. Is like it? That, I think that's the most common Italian name
is it?
In the world.
It's just everyone.
Yeah.
I actually know a Rossi. I know a Rossi. But Ireland, I was talking to a guy who like studied their history, and he was saying... For a long, long, long time, they were always named after the paternal grandfather. That's why you would always have a Patrick, and then 2 generations later, a Patrick, and then 2 generations later, a Pat. So you'd go to look, and he was like, if you know, he's like, that was what it used to be. He's like, so if you know the male household name, he's like, you can differentiate, like, to the Patrick. He's like, you know, probably 20, 30 years later, there's going to, like, he's like, if you know when they came here, you can start to figure it out. And I was like, okay, like. You're getting me somewhere now. Like, I didn't know that, dude.
Actually,
okay.
Actually, some information.
Like.
I remember learning about my, what was it? My great uncle, fought for fascist Italy in World War II. And, went missing in action.
Oh, fuck.
And, in, like, 2010, I think. Found a skeleton in Ethiopia, and dental records matched him.
He fucking left. He went with everyone, all the other fascists and Nazis and everything, and dipped out.
What? No.
A lot of fascists and Nazis went out to Argentina and Ethiopia. And...
No.
Yeah.
Ethiopia is an African country.
I know where Ethiopia is. I'm just saying they went to a lot of countries they wouldn't be expected.
No, they conquered Ethiopia.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. I was gonna say, I'm like, I know Argentina was a super popular.
Yeah, Argentina country. And. Argentina and Brazil.
Ethiopia's an African country. I'm like, I know.
I'm
Ethiopia.
Just making sure. I was like, they didn't fucking flee there after the war. They fucking conquered Ethiopia.
No, I really thought that was because they went everywhere that people.
No, they think that he died when the British were like liberating Ethiopia from the Italians. They think that he died in a British prison camp from malaria.
Jesus,
I was like, that fucking sucks.
How ironic, too, that they would go to other countries like Argentina and Brazil, where, like, people are probably a little bit, not always, but a little bit more tan, probably darker hair, you know what I mean, more than likely. You're not going to find, I would imagine, probably not as many, like, white, blonde, blue-eyed people in Brazil. So, like, the Nazis go, and they're like,
oh, I thought you were talking about the Italians.
No, but I'm like, they're going to go to Argentina and Brazil.
Well, it's because they had a really good relationship with them.
I know, but it's like me, like, I'm going to hide in Hong Kong. It's like, probably going to stand out. You're a 6'1" white guy, well, man. Like, you might stand out a bit. Like, I don't know. They might look a little different than everyone else there. Like, I'm just...
Did you know that you know what kind of makes me sad? You know the Prussian, and for you guys listening, Prussian with a P as in Papa. Prussian.
Not like Plever.
Yeah. No, yeah, Plever. but,
like, wait, what?
Like, you know the Prussians, right?
Yeah.
You like what comes to mind if you think of Prussia? What's the first thing that should at least come to mind with Prussia?
I think of like, I don't know. I think of like very martial, like German attitude, like very much like the
military.
Might. Yeah, I was gonna say very much like
the goose step. Like yeah. Very.
That's what. That's why the Nazis got all of their military
Prussian.
Yeah,
because the Prussians.
Yeah, exactly.
Are German.
Their military. Flair, I guess. Not their, not what they did, but their
no, just their
style. The way they carried themselves. Yeah. Yeah, like that, yeah.
Did you know that, so I get today, what kind of makes me sad, because like I'm a history guy, did you know the German military today, the Prussian aspect of it is gone?
Doesn't surprise me.
They post World War II kind of like got rid of all of it.
Well, they even say, like, people say back in the, like, all the stuff I've read and watched, like, like, because the, it, like, obviously, like, if it's your country, it's awesome. You're like, dude, that's the coolest thing. Like, how mighty are we? But they were like, to other people, like, that shit looks scary.
It's scary.
Like, it's intimidating. Like, you just see...
Well, it was supposed to be.
You see these stone-faced, gray trench coat-wearing, goose-stepping fucking mother... Like, bigger people. Like, see, you know, all of them are tall and...
And wicked, like, nice dress uniforms designed by Ugo
Boss.
Yeah,
and you're just... And
Ugo
just,
Boss.
And it's just... Really? Was it true?
You know that?
No.
The Nazi uniforms. So, if any of you guys are ever wondering when you're watching, like, a World War II movie or a show that's set during World War II, if you've ever thought, like, why are the Nazis' uniforms so, like, sharp?
Yeah.
Like, they look nice, like, in terms of just, like, stylistically. They're really, really, they're attractive uniforms. They were designed by Hugo Boss.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. All the Nazi uniforms were, so there's a funny meme. It's like Hugo Boss 1939 collection, and it's all Nazi uniforms. I saw that, I almost fucking threw up laughing.
I didn't realize that. I never knew that.
Oh, yeah. They had to go through some shit. Hugo Boss afterwards in terms of their image. You know what I mean? Because it was like...
You mean supplying Nazis would do negatively to their image? Who would have figured?
But somehow Nike, they're a huge company today, and Nike and Puma are also very large companies today, and their founders were both Nazis. Nike and Puma. But, anyway.
Well, hold on. Nike's founder, Phil Knight, was a Nazi.
Sorry, not Nike. Not,
I was like,
no,
wait
I'm sorry.
A second now.
I'm sorry, not Nike. Adidas. Adidas and Puma.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they were brothers.
Like Phil Knight. He was selling shoes out of his car.
I think they were brothers. The guy who founded Adidas and the guy who founded Puma. I think they were brothers.
I'll name you my text.
But, do you know the Prussian military tradition lives on? Like, in full force?
Where?
Chile.
Really?
Look up Chilean military parade.
Yeah, they were brothers.
They were, right? Yeah.
Rudolf Dassler and Adolf Dassler.
Jesus, Adi was short for Adolf, Jesus.
No, well, yeah, but so he called himself Adi, A-D-I, Dassler, D-A-S, Adidas.
Oh my God!
A-D-I, D-A-S.
Adidas.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you ever look up like a military parade of the Chilean military today, they look like Germans. Their uniforms, their marching style, it looks like a German World War II army.
I think Germany was probably
They had the Stahlhelm.
Which is dope. I think Germany was probably like, all right, listen, here's the deal. It's all well and good, but we've now lost two world wars, and this last one...
Really fucked us.
This one really fucked us, and... Oh, it's not really looking so good. Like, we're looking pretty bad on the world stage. We're gonna just quell whatever thing, whatever anyone looks at us and thinks, oh, maybe that, we're just gonna get rid of all of it. You think our military looks angry? We'll just get rid of that.
I wonder,
even though they didn't really have much of a military after me, but.
Do you know something that I think would be cool to look into? How many people who were serving in the Wehrmacht, the German military, World War II, and I know you know that, I just wanna make sure. You guys listening know who the hell the Wehrmacht is. I'm curious how many of them served in the Soviet Eastern German military, as well as the Western German military, when the country was divided, being, you know what I mean, when it was occupied by the Soviet Russia and then Britain, France, and the United States. I'm curious how many of the Wehrmacht ended up being in those armies.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. And your pants.
What?
What?
It's got to be a pretty good amount, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Like, how many officers, too? Like, German officers who, like, served during World War II were just like, all right, I guess I'm in the East German Army now.
I'm here now.
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably happened a ton of times in history, though. You're fighting for this country. You lose. They're like, now you're fighting for this country. You're like, okay, all right.
It's like, wait, I'm not going to die? We're like, nah, as long as you serve in the military. Right, fuck it.
They're like, no, not yet. But we are going to battle these people, so you might. And you're like, oh, okay, well. Yeah, we get time. Excuse me.
So I think we should talk about the anniversary coming up.
I almost said of what, and I was like, of what? And now I get 9/11, yeah.
I would have hit you in the head with a fucking bottle.
I mean...
Not really, I wouldn't.
I was going to say, I'm like, I mean, of, you know... I'm not going to forget about it, so... Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to forget about it. Like, it's... You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah,
It's been around forever.
But yeah, 20th anniversary of 9/11, the 9/11 terror attacks, is Saturday. Saturday, September 11th. Isn't it crazy that that was 20 years ago?
Yeah, man. 20 years. I was, I mean...
We were little.
Oh, yeah.
We were in...
second grade.
Was it second grade?
It was second grade. I remember, yeah. Second grade, because I don't remember if they sent us home from school early,
They did.
I definitely remember going home, and, like, my mother was, like, crying watching the news.
I don't know if they sent us home early. I think they did, but... Even if they didn't send us home early, I went home early. Yeah. I remember, like, my mom came.
School was in some way affected.
Yeah. I remember that, though. And it's wild. We were so little. I have a vivid memory of the day. I don't have a vague memory of 9/11. Like, I have a very vivid memory of it. Now, at the time, did I understand it? No, obviously not. I was in fucking second grade. But, so,
I remember watching the buildings, like...
As do I. I remember being in school. I remember my mom came and got us. They told us at school, right? They said there was the...
Like, I don't know.
There was an attack in New York.
I don't remember, like, if they said there was an attack or if they were just, like, one of the, like, planes hit, like, some buildings in New York. And, like, I don't know how they would have explained it to a bunch of second graders while also trying to figure out... What the... Because, like, it's not like they were, like, explaining it like they were teaching it to us. They were explaining it, trying to figure out what the fuck just... They're
right,
like,
they didn't
did
know.
Play... Was there an attack? Was the pilot fucking fall asleep? Like, was there a malfunction? We don't know. Like, they had no clue.
I remember getting picked up. My mom pulled up in her gray Chevy Corsica. Chevy fucking Corsica. And I remember she was so happy to see me. And I remember going home... And sitting in the living room and watching the news with my parents. Or with my mom. My dad wasn't home yet. He was at work. He came home. And I remember, like I said, not understanding what was going... You know what I mean?
You knew something was up, but not the significance.
Well, I remember I was scared because my parents were scared.
Yeah, and you're like, they start crying or they get all nervous and you're like, okay, well, I've never seen them like this. Like,
yeah, it's like, going on? Something's wrong. You know what I mean? That your little kid brain understands that. Yeah, something's wrong.
You can read the room.
My parents are... And, like, you could see... You know what I mean? I watched it. Like, I did see the fucking planes. So the second plane hit the building. Right? Because the first one, obviously, we wouldn't have seen. Or, well, actually, no. I remember, even if it wasn't live, I remember seeing the planes hitting the buildings. I remember the footage. And I just remember my parents being afraid and being little and that terrifying me. Like, because I don't think I'd ever experienced that. When my parents were genuinely afraid and upset. And I don't think I can remember. I don't think I had ever been in that situation before.
Well, because
it made me really upset and, like... Scared.
Especially because it was like, all right, the first one happened, and it's like, all right, what the fuck happened? Like, maybe there was just a terrible accident, or again, like, malfunction, or the pilot fell asleep, or whatever.
Then
the second one happens, and it's like, okay, like, two planes in the two biggest buildings, like, not a coincidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, we're under attack.
Correct. Like, not a coincidence. And then the one near the Pentagon, and so everyone's just like, who knows? Who knows? Like,
yeah,
what?
You literally didn't know what was going to happen.
Seriously, you're like, dude, I don't know. Like, what if? Who knows? There's a fucking bomb going off in my town, my city. Like, what if the plane my relative just got on is one of the ones that they're gonna like?
And that's
no
why
no one knew what was happening.
And that's why parents all over the country were grabbing their kids and bringing them home.
What if
from
school gets wet?
Yeah,
what if
the like, get the fuck out of school.
Like, yeah,
the safest place would probably be your home.
Yeah,
like, you know, they're not gonna target. Jesus, you never know though, but. Most like for mass effect, they're
you're
not
going to a building
homes.
That has a lot of people in it, not one single family home. You know, not to be grim, but I mean, I'm just
no,
saying,
but,
like
I
that's
mean, from
logic,
a military,
yeah, right? It's like
tactical standpoint, it's like a strategic standpoint, you're not going to go after your, you want a high value target for maximum effect. But I will never forget that. That may have been the first time where I was really afraid in my life.
Pussy.
And the scariest thing is being afraid and not even knowing why. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what you're afraid of.
But yeah, I know. I have anxiety. Real. Trust me. It's like anyone with anxiety all the time. It's like, I just don't know why I'm freaking out, but I am. But I don't know why. Like, it's awful.
And to this day, if I watch 9/11 stuff, I get really upset.
It's really tough, man.
Like, I
certain ones especially is like, ooh, like,
fuck. Like, I've cried recent, like, in the last, pretty much every year when I watch the stuff. It makes me upset to the point where I'll cry. And you know what comes back? What feeling comes back? Rage. Anger.
Yeah.
That these people did this to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get really angry about it. And it's just like,
I don't know. I agree, but vengeance isn't the way.
Oh, I'm not saying vengeance. I mean, it's just,
but it's just one of those.
It's angering that someone did this to us. You know what I mean? It's like, you fucking killed a lot of innocent people. Like, and you're a fucking coward. You know, it's not like you went after hard targets. You went after civilian fucking buildings. It's like, it's not like, oh, we're gonna attack, you know.
Like, it had been one thing if it was
military,
like,
installation. Like, I know they went after the Pentagon.
I was gonna say, so like, as unfortunate it would have been, like, God forbid they blew up the Pentagon instead. It's like, yes, would it have been unfortunate that, you know, a bunch of people who might have been in the army but were just paper pushers or secretaries or whatever and never shot a gun in their life, or, you know what I mean, or whatever.
Yeah, their job didn't involve combat.
And you know, 1,000 of them died, but it's like, okay, well, not that it's right, but it's like, all right, well, they blew up the Pentagon. It's like, it at least makes sense. Like,
well, it's warfare. It's military versus military.
It's like, that's a military installation. Like, it's terrible, but, like, it's understandable that that's a target. It's like, that's a fucking, that's like us going into, like, Kuwait and bombing a strip mall. You know what I mean? It's like, what the fuck? Like, that's just, like, come on. Like, not that any sort of bombing of anything is right, but, like, if you're going to bomb a military target, it's at least a little bit more acceptable. It's war. Exactly.
Yeah, you're
it's
attacking, like, the military.
You don't want to kill any innocent people, but it's war. At least if you're attacking a military installation or a base or a hangar or something, it's like, at least there's a reason behind it, as unfortunate as it is. If it was just the Pentagon, people would have, I don't think they would have got over it, but they would have been less, they would have been less rage. They would have been like, okay, they got one in on us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think we still would have went back and went over there and done what we did. But, like, the fact that it was just, like you said, it was just people going about their day, just going to work.
People going to work.
People working in a law firm or in whatever, some sort of business headquarters or this or that, just on the 80th floor doing their business, 70th floor. You know what I mean? Like, the worst is hearing the calls of the people who, like,
fuck,
were in the buildings and didn't get out, or, like, were trying to get out. And it's really tough for, like, some of the people I work with, especially one of the guys, because he worked for Providence Fire his whole life, and you'd be surprised how many people go, like, you would be surprised, you're like, oh, it's, you know, it's New York, like, yeah, they probably have an uplick, bro.
Nothing on that level.
Like, New York had everyone in New York that was available. They had literally every state from Massachusetts on down to probably, like, fucking Georgia up there, including Connecticut. They would have had probably Boston apparatus. 100% there was Rhode Island down there.
Not to mention National Guard units from, like, every state within, 300 miles.
I know multiple people I work with or, like, that I work with that have worked with people who were, like, at Ground Zero, like, hours after it happened, or, like, the day after it happened, and were there for, like, days, like, trying to pull people and things out of the rubble. You know what I mean? It's like, shit's wild. Like, this time of year is September 11th, you know, like, you know what I mean? And I think everyone personally should just revisit Jon Stewart's speech once a year, because that is the fucking greatest, that is one of the best speeches in recent American history. I don't give a shit what anyone says. Like, not speeches, but, like, just orations. His argument for, like, the 9/11 Victims Fund and everything was fucking unbelievable.
He's still is a big
he is, but, like, his, like, that that argument, like, just the way, the, like, with the amount of passion and fervor and conviction he had, and the way he, it was just, like, wow.
Well, he's a New Yorker, right?
Yeah, yeah, born and raised. But aside from being a fucking New Yorker, he's an American and he's a fucking human being. No one across, I mean, obviously terrorists were happy. No one in France or Japan or England or anyone in, on September 11, 2001 was thrilled about what happened. I'm sure when, you know, when Paris got bombed, the people in the United States were obviously stunned and donating to charity. It's like, no one wants to see that happen to anyone. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't matter where it is.
And again, it's because it was a civilian target.
Yeah.
A military installation gets attacked, you are not going to see the outpouring of...
That's what I'm saying. As unfortunate as it is. Love. Yeah.
But because it's the military. What the fuck's the military's job is to conduct warfare? It's expected that sometimes, if you're a military, you're going to get punched back. You know what I mean? Or punched in the face, and then you punch back. That's what you do. You fight. But it's like you were saying, it's like these people were fucking lawyers, fucking... Think about, like, the fucking kids in the fucking mailroom. Like, 20 years old, working in the mailroom. Like, stuff like that. And it's just... Even now, I'm getting upset. It's been 20 years, and it's never... Like, do you know what is crazy to me? The fact that it is not... It's a historical event. There are so many people alive today who are,
I mean, it was a historical...
No. I mean, like, it's now... It's like, there are people alive today where it's nothing but a historical event to them. They didn't live through it.
They
learn about it in the history book.
I read a thing. I think it was, like, Pew Research or whatever. Whatever. It was some organization that does, like, the research for, like, the generations. So, like, it's... They're kind of, like, the ones who like, designate the... Like, what generation is... Like, how generations are defined, the years that they're defined. Like, I think it was a Pew Research Lab or something, where it was, like, they're the ones who define, like, millennials are 19... Are you getting a phone call?
I am. You're good.
Where it defines, like, oh, millennials are, you know, 1985 to 1996 or whatever it is. And they're characterized by this, and Gen Z is characterized by these traits and whatever. And it was saying that the characteristics, like... It was just like, we as millennials, it was like, dude, we grew up in the shadow of, like, 9/11 and, like literal constant warfare. Like, even though, obviously it wasn't World War I or World War II, but still, like, constantly being at war.
Well, and also in fear.
Yeah, and exactly, at war and in fear of being bombed or a suicide bomb or the plane being hijacked or this happening or that...
You go to a fucking Red Sox game and you're afraid someone's gonna blow up the park.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you grew up through that. It's like, and then, you know, not that starts to get better, but like, you start to get accustomed to that. It's like, and then...
Well, like, the TSA didn't exist before 9/11.
Right. But then it's like, and then you get hit with not so much the turmoil, but just like the change that is like the coming of a black president for the first time in a country, obviously, with a history like ours. I know, like, yeah, we, whatever. But still, like, I know, 200 years, and that's super fast for a country to evolve, but whatever. Like, we obviously have a huge history of racism. Obviously, the biggest scar in our nation and the thing that people...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty fucking big deal to have a nation have a first black president when everyone before that had been white.
Correct. That's the same. It's like a Nelson...
I don't think anyone's going to deny that.
No, correct. It's like a Nelson Mandela. It's the same thing. But I'm saying, like, from the war... Then you have that, which, again, not turmoil, but it's just, like, that's a massive event. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big deal. And then right into the second biggest recession the country's ever had. It's just, like, we just got walloped. That's what I, like, trying to explain to my niece and nephew. I'm like, you guys are getting, like, the second wave of it. I'm like, but you don't get, like, we got fucking walloped. Like,
I think a big thing that, like, I am very, very happy that we are out of Afghanistan. Finally.
Oh.
I think it's a failed mission. I think it's a completely failed mission. I don't even think that's fucking debatable.
Many people are comparing it to a Vietnam War. Afghanistan, like Iraq, stuff like
I mean...
I
would say that in terms of length, it's a giant Vietnam. In terms of casualties, it's a baby Vietnam.
No, I don't mean in casualties. I just mean in significance. Like, we went over there to accomplish something... we did all of this, we fought, and then we really didn't do much. Like, not we didn't do much, but it's like we didn't accomplish at all what we were trying to accomplish. That's not to say what everyone went over there was for naught. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's no secret that, like, Afghanistan was not, it didn't go over well. It's just, yeah. They didn't accomplish what they wanted to accomplish, and they spent all this time doing it. And I think, I mean, I don't know, like, I wonder how, like, I'm curious to see how, like, people feel. Like, I'm sure there's definitely people in Afghanistan and those countries who are, like, sad to see Americans leave in a way because, like, women are being, you know, fucking...
sent back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, correct, you know what I mean? And that's, like, one of the things, so I was reading an article about, which we'll get to, about the new Muslim leadership, and it was written in February, but the guy was just like, yeah, like, and for women to be free as, like, as it's allowed under Islamic law, I'm like, which is, like, no, like...
That's not free.
I've never read the Quran, I'm like, but, like, if what you guys have done in the past is what you define as free, like, they can't go to school, they can't read or write, they can't go out without a man, I'm like, it's really...
It's Sharia law.
I'm like, it's really not freedom in any way, like, at all, you know what I mean? Like, I understand religion has its... certain things that people have to adhere to that might not be the most normal to others, but that's a bit much. You know what I mean? Like, you know, absolutely. Catholics don't want to eat meat on Fridays. You know, like, there's certain things. It's a little odd, but that's just not right. Like, and so, but...
Well, no, it's evil.
It's, yeah, you know what I mean?
It's just, evil. It's like, and there will be people be like, ooh, different cultures. And it's like, okay, well, being a different culture doesn't excuse acts of evil. You know what I mean? Like, there's always that, like, defense. It's like, well, they do things differently over there, and, you know.
But my question is, like...
Well, it doesn't matter.
But my question is, like, if it's just, like... Obviously, like, some crazy shit's happening, and blah, blah, blah. And if they're just, like, going in there, dick swinging to try and, like, show that they shouldn't be rebelled against. And then they're gonna calm it down once people start to just not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, submit. You know that's what Islam means? Submission?
I mean, yeah.
But, now, it's talking about submission to God, but...
I was going to say, I feel like Islam's a beautiful religion if it's studied in the, like...
I don't think it is at all. I think it is a aggressive, militaristic faith.
I feel like I know... I feel like... I don't know. I guess Catholicism doesn't really preach it, but every faith is militaristic. Even if not in its nature, it just becomes that way because faith inspires that much adherence, I feel like.
You can say that every religion can use, or every people can use religion to justify war and things like that.
Well, religion just inspires militants, I feel like.
But Islam actively promotes violence against non-believers. Like, it does. Right from the get-go, it's violent. The history of Islam starts with extreme violence.
I just don't know if that's true. Like, I would like to speak to someone who, like, actually knows, like, who is a Muslim or studies Islam. Like,
well, I mean, I can tell you that the history of Islam begins with extreme violence.
I mean...
Right when it's founded, it starts immediately killing and conquering.
I know, but I just feel like a lot of religions and, like...
And they're still doing it.
I know, but, like, there's so many religions that, like, a lot of pagan religions, fucking, the people were sacrificed, or animals were sacrificed. Catholicism, people were fucking crucified, like, and burned at the stake. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm like, there's so many religions where it's, like, every religion...
I understand that, but again...
Protestants and Catholics fought each other for hundreds of years.
Okay, again, it's the only religion that actively promotes violence, and it's the only religion where... from its inception, has been violent. From the birth of Islam. Do you know what Muhammad did? The creator of Islam?
He's not the creator of Islam. He's a prophet.
He's the first Muslim.
Oh, okay. What
he spread the word.
What did he do, though?
He fucking conquered and killed.
I mean, I don't know enough about Islam.
I understand. I'm telling you.
I know, like, about...
That's what the Golden Age did. Well, that's way later. Fucking Islam came out of Arabia. First off, it fucking conquered Arabia. Anybody who wasn't Islamic was either killed or subjugated by them, and then immediately, with Muhammad as the leader, pushed north up into what was Roman territory and Persian territory.
You're sure that's right?
I'm 100% positive. Muhammad ended up dying, and then the people after him continuing what he had already been doing, continued their jihad and conquered a huge chunk of the Roman Empire and conquered the entire Persian Empire. This is at its inception. Like, I'm telling you that.
I'm not going to say you're wrong, because I don't know enough about it.
No, I'm not wrong. That is what happened. Islam is formed. Muhammad is a militant leader from the get-go. That's what he is. You know what I mean? Like, there's no denying. No, nobody who, like, any Muslim would never say that, oh yeah, Muhammad wasn't a warrior. It's like, no, that's what he was. He was a warrior. And Islam was a religion of warfare.
I don't know.
And people say it's a religion of peace. No, it's a religion of peace if you submit to it. Meaning if you convert to Islam.
I don't know. I just feel like...
If you do not, you are going to be killed.
I don't know.
Or subjugated.
I don't know many people who practice Islam. I don't. I mean, unless they're just not, like, forthcoming about it, which, I mean, they don't have to be fine. But I don't know many people, so I don't know much about the religion. I'm from, like, a Roman Catholic family, so I don't... But I don't know. At least the portrayals I've seen in, like, movies and culture is either that of, obviously, like, media, you just all you ever hear about is terrorists. Like, obviously, that's all you're ever going to hear about from the media is the bad side of everything. So any Muslim person,
yeah, fuck
anyone...
the media. Don't pay attention.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, when you... How else do you hear about other countries? You're, oh, Iraq, terrorist. You never hear about, like, oh, there's, like, this person who did this, or this smart person, or Baghdad was, like, I know it was forever ago.
Well, that's why modern history is so fucking,
like Baghdad was the center of everything forever, and these people were geniuses and carried us for, like, however many
years. Not that long, but...
Because they got fucking destroyed by Genghis Khan.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Mongols fucked them.
Yeah, which, again, though, but, like, had they not... You know what I mean? Like, had that not happened, like, you never know where they would be now. But, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you just don't learn about that shit. Like, all you hear about. But I feel like a lot of the, I don't know.
Well, listen.
Islam seems like a very passionate, but very, like, devout's not the word. I don't know what the word is. Cause, like, it's like spiritual, but obviously it's a religion, so it's spiritual. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like Catholicism where you just go to church. Like, I'm just saying you can be a good Catholic and go to church maybe once every week or whatever and do this. To be like a proper devout like Muslim, at least from my understanding, like there's just a lot that goes into it.
Yeah,
it's literally like a life choice. It's not just like I'm a Catholic, I raise my kids Catholic. It's like, no, you are.
Well,
a Muslim.
That's
like,
the thing. There are plenty of people who are that in terms of being Muslim. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm raised Muslim, but they're not like a fucking devout Muslim.
But like the ones I've seen where like the like people who really practice Islam, it's a very devout, like very, you know, you gotta pray multiple times a day, you have your rug and there's a method to doing it, and there's a whole routine. I don't know what it is, but which there isn't, you know, in Catholic Church. You know, you got to do the hymns, and then you get down, and thanks be to God, and all of that. And God, oh, I hate church. But it's just, I don't know. I've always been curious about it, and I've always wanted to, like, try and read the Quran just, like, for interest's sake.
I've read it.
I'm not going to, you know, I don't think I'm going to convert, but I've always wanted to read it just for interest's sake, just to be like, dude, you know what? What is this book that everyone, like... What did this...
Well,
this book, this one, and the other one, the Bible, that everyone just keeps fighting over.
The Quran, like, is not the same in terms of a holy book like the Bible is. The Quran is very small.
Yeah, the Bible is
epic. There's the Quran, but then there's also the Hadiths, which are the writings of Islamic scholars, which are considered sacred texts.
Which is like, I mean, not scholars, but I mean, like... The Bible is just rewritings of the apostles, which they're not scholars, but they were you know what I mean? It's like
No, absolutely.
It's kind of the same thing. It's like the book of David, the book of John, the book of it's like it's the same thing. Like
absolutely. If you just read the Quran, a lot of it literally doesn't make sense. If you don't, like, read the Hadiths and like I took History of Islam classes in college.
I took Arabic, and it was fascinating, but also the hardest language I've ever tried by a long shot.
That's fucking insane.
It was super interesting, but my God.
Do you know what language would probably be equally as fucking mind-blowing to, like, try to learn?
Russian?
Russian or Greek.
Or, I don't
think... any language that has a different alphabet.
It's Russian, but what are they... What is that called?
The Cyrillic.
Yeah. I almost said Sanskrit, but that's Indian. Or, like, Nepal, India, that area.
Yeah.
Like, Tibetan.
But yeah, the Cyrillic alphabet.
Yeah.
Created by Cyril and Methodius, two Roman monks.
Yeah, Cyrillic, that's insane.
That they literally created that alphabet for the Bulgarians when they converted to Eastern Orthodox.
Here, have this.
Because they needed them to be able to understand the faith, but they couldn't do it in the Bulgarian language. So they created, those monks created a language.
That's still used today, which is insane.
The Bulgarians adopted it. Now it's elsewhere. You know, the Russians adopted it. You know, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, but unfortunately, like many languages, even though it's Russia, so... And I don't know about Ukraine, but I'm sure...
I shouldn't say language, alphabet.
I'm sure there's 150 million people who probably speak it and use it, but it still ends up being the minority in languages, which I read about, and they were like, yeah, pretty much, like, if it came down to it, like, there's gonna be, like, one or two world languages, and it's almost certainly gonna be English. They were like... Because England already speaks English. Most places already learn it as a second language.
It's the English, United States, English and Mandarin.
Is it Mandarin? I thought it was... I don't know why I thought it was Spanish. I think because there are Spain, more, Mexico, Chile...
More people speak Mandarin, I think, than English in the world. Now, you also have to...
There's no fucking chance. Maybe as a first language.
Well, no.
Not as a single... Not know, in total.
But I think you also have to take into account the fact that China has...
A billion people.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, Mandarin may be the most spoken in terms of the amount of people, but it's not widespread like English. It is widespread, but not on the level of, like, English.
I just feel like every... I feel like 90... If I go to another country in Europe and I go other than... I mean, I expect them to speak multiple languages, but other than their own, if I go, what language do they speak?
Well, because English is the language of trade.
Correct. I'm like, English. I'm like, if I go to Germany and I'm like, what other language might they speak? Other than maybe like French or Italian, English. Like, English would be Amsterdam, English. This place, English. Russian, English. I'm like, I would always think English because it's just what everyone... It is.
That's the language of trade and business. That's because you have the British Empire literally all over the world, you know? So the English language spread everywhere.
Saying Esperanto.
Spanish is definitely up there, without a doubt. Dude, Spanish is fucking huge.
I'm telling you, I might die on that hill, but I don't understand why. I think it should be mandatory that everyone learn Spanish in this country. I really do.
Mandatory?
I think it should. Not like mandatory, but I think it should be part of the regular curriculum. I think you could lose...
Isn't it? Don't most public schools have Spanish? Some.
I think you could just lose the geometry classes and focus more on a foreign language. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about losing geometry.
Yeah, because I can tell you how many times I've looked at something and been like, that's a rhombi-dodecahedron. Like, never mattered. Never mattered. You know how many times they've gone, what shape is a stop sign? It's like, does it fucking matter? I know it means stop, but who cares? Like, there's a difference. Like,
it's true.
What is the difference? I know a circle, a square, a triangle, a rectangle, a diamond. I mean, what else do I need to know?
How the fuck did we go from 9/11 to rhombuses?
Seriously, because that's how our minds work. No, but I want to get back to the 9/11
thing. Parallelograms, do you remember those?
Yeah, I do. I do remember parallelograms.
What was the little... When we used to use the blocks in school, the little white diamond-shaped one.
A what?
It was kind. It looked like a diamond, and it was. They were always white.
Was it a diamond?
It might have been a diamond.
Looked like a diamond.
That makes sense.
Looked like a diamond, and it seemed like a diamond.
God, tonight's not my night, huh? Tallulah, that's in Alabama.
Tallulah, Alabama. I'm like, you mean Tuscaloosa? Tuscaloosa.
You know, the diamond-shaped one. What was that? A diamond?
A diamond? You're like, oh, fuck. You're right. Oh, dude, man.
Shit.
It is a diamond. No, I wanted to fucking... We were talking about Afghanistan and how we're happy we're out of there.
Yeah.
And then I was going to talk about their appointment to... I gotta read it because I'll butcher it if I don't, because I'll screw it up. His name is Sirajuddin Haqqani. I don't know if I said that right. Haqqani?
Who cares? Fuck him. He's a member of the Taliban.
So, anyways. He got appointed. He was originally the deputy chief of the Taliban, and a close ally of Al-Qaeda, will be their first minister of the interior. Apparently, he's a U.S.-designated terrorist with close ties to the group responsible for 9/11. And I read a thing that said he was... What was it? He was linked to or wanted for questioning due to a possible bombing in Kabul or something that killed 8 people, including an American or something along those lines.
Mm.
And also supposedly just fought against Americans over the years, you know, as a militant and all of that. And it says that a U.S.-designated terrorist with close ties to the group responsible for 9/11 is now the Afghan equivalent of director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Like, what? Like, but apparently there's a whole... I haven't done too much on it, but his last name or surname or some name is Haqqani. And apparently there's a whole thing called the Haqqani Network, which is, like, an entire, like, sub-cell, like, sleeper cell of terrorists themselves that he's kind of the leader of, and now they've, like, whittled their way into the leadership of the Taliban. But, like, he wrote a thing on the New York Times in February, and it was, like, very well-written and agreeable. I can't believe I'm saying that about him, but it was. Like, if you read
it... Well, it's because it's effectively a press release.
Yeah, but, like, if you read... But even still, like, the guys went on national, like, TV and held up a news reporter with, like, AKs, so you would expect, like, a little bit more... diplomacy. But they were like, oh, like, we'll be...
You're saying he's very eloquent for a terrorist.
He's very eloquent and someone who, like... I mean, I understand, like, what they've been doing. That was written on the 7th before they took over Afghanistan. And, like, I understand they've been, you know, beating women and bringing them back to the Stone Age and killing cops and people that were part of the old regime and all this other... Like, I totally understand that. But, like, at least what he was writing, it's like, now, if he actually held up to what he was writing about, we might actually be able to make this work. Like... If he actually was as agreeable and like, logical as he makes himself sound in those things, when in reality he's obviously a fucking psycho. Like, you know what I mean? Like, clearly.
He's a mass murdering.
Yeah, you're obviously a fucking maniac, but when you read the article, he's like, we understand, like, other countries need, not like need for transparency, but like, we understand their concerns and we take them very seriously. We will be a upstanding member of the international community. We hope that the other countries can see us as like a place of like progress and not of warfare and like all this other stuff. And like we want to work with the United States for restructuring the country. And we're done with war. And we've been affected more by the war than anyone. So we want it to end more than anyone else. And all this other stuff, and I'm like, okay, now, then if that's the case, then what is all this other stuff about bombing airports when people are trying to leave, and stopping planes from leaving, and beating women, and killing police officers, and all this other crazy shit, you know what I mean? I'm like, what? If you actually were like this, you would be so much more agreeable to us, and the whole government, and things would probably get done. Like, you're still a psycho. But maybe a psycho we can work with. You know what I mean? Like, and try and kind of coerce, persuade.
Manipulate.
Over time. Help see, you know, a different side of things. Like, if you're that agreeable on paper, maybe, you know, you come to see the lighter side of, you know, maybe. Maybe. I doubt it. You're an older man who's been studying Islam forever. You're probably very, like, devout.
Yeah, I would say so.
Like, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, you gotta read it. I'm like, dude, this doesn't seem like it was... This looks like it was, like, written by someone in this country, not by, like, a fucking Taliban.
Well, he's probably highly educated.
I have no doubt that he's highly educated, but it's not so much... It's not that it's well-written. It's the fact that it's so agreeable and understanding of, like, how we would perceive things.
Well, yeah, that's the point, though. I'm sure he wrote it with that intention. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not just like, we recognize no authority but our own, and like, we, you know, we're going to do what we want, and if you don't like it, like, we'll do our own thing. It's not like a North Korea. It's like, you know, we understand that you guys have some concerns, and we absolutely get that, and we're going to do our best to address those concerns in a timely fashion, as long as you understand that we have some Islamic laws that we have to... It's like, you know what I mean? I'm like, this guy seems like he's fucking, like, ready to go to the table and, like, sign the papers and work out some sort of deal. And then you get him 8 months later, and it's like, back to fucking craziness. It's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Where was the February, like... Where's the February guy? Can we have him back? Like, can we talk to that guy? Because he seems like we might get more done with him. Like, right now, you guys just seem very angry. Like, I don't know.
I think a lot has changed since February. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like, they didn't have the entire country won. Under their control. Yeah, right.
They won, and now they have the third largest military in the world.
They don't need to convince anyone that they need what they want.
Third most well-funded military in the world.
They don't need to convince anyone, like, oh, if we get into power, this is what we'll do. They're like, we already got power, baby. Yeah. We're good. Like, we don't need to convince you, motherfuckers.
Fuck
we can do what we want.
We're going to do what we want.
We don't need to convince anyone, baby. We're good.
There are no U.S. forces in our way anymore. No, it's fucking insane.
And I don't know, like, how to feel. Like, I don't know if, like, the Afghan people at large wanted us gone. If it's like, fine, fuck it. Fuck it. We'll leave. We'll see how it works. Like, you want us gone,
I don't
gone,
think
we'll
they
leave.
Did by them literally trying to climb onto our fucking planes as we were leaving. I think a lot of them didn't want us to leave. But you know what? Fuck them. I don't give a shit.
I mean, I don't mean fuck them, but it's just like everyone...
No, I mean fuck them. I don't
Everyone
care.
For years has been like, it's not our problem, it's not our problem. Why are you in our country? It's like, okay, I mean, then we'll leave. Everyone always tells us that it's not our problem. Fine, then it is not our problem. Not our problem.
That's how
all these other countries are like, listen, it's not our beef. Like, fine, it's not our beef. All right, listen, what everyone else is saying, Sweden's not up here doing anything about it. Canada's not doing anything. I mean, Canada fights a little bit, but you know what I mean?
They fight fucking ferociously,
no,
too. The Canadians
no,
are
I know
ballsy.
That, but I'm just saying, like, they're not like we are, where they're up in everyone's ass all the time.
Oh, yeah.
France, all these other countries, it's like, you know, I'm sure they have their little things here and there, but by and large, like, we've been fighting these people in one or another of their neighboring countries or their own country for, like, upwards of 25, 30 years.
Yep.
It's like, dude, like, we have been involved in Iran and Afghanistan since the Soviets. Like,
yes.
It's like, it's long enough.
We effectively created the Taliban.
Jesus Christ. Honestly, we funded them to get rid of the Soviets.
Yeah,
and then
Mujahideen.
And then the Soviets leave, and then they're just like, well, now we have all this money and fucking guns. And
they're like, thanks, America. You leave too now. And we were like, no.
Yeah, no, we're not leaving. And they're like, okay, well, we're not just going to leave you here. So
that's why there's so much bad blood.
And it is. And it's just like, they can point to... We bombed them here. We bombed them there. They did 9/11. They did this. They bombed this train station. Well, they did this, and we bombed them, and they killed this villager.
And that's why, like, I think
so many. Like,
I'm so happy that we're out of there. And anyone who says we need to go back in,
no,
fuck that.
Get us
you are
out
of your minds. Fucking never go back there. Just fucking actually be stringent with our security here on the home front, and don't let them in here. It's that simple.
Just
protect.
Stop.
The homeland.
Let us do our thing, figure out our stuff, stop pissing everyone else off, and just listen, okay? Half the reason everyone is so mad at us is just because we're always involved in everyone else's shit. It's not because we're powerful. It's not why. If we were powerful but we minded our business, most people would just look at us and be like, wow, it would be great to live there. I wish I could live there. But the fact that they're constantly getting aerated and bombed by us and everything, it starts to sour it a little bit. It's like, just fucking go back to our country, figure out the homelessness or whatever, make another Google, find the next fuel source, and create the next batteries like Americans do, and just be inventors, all right? That's where we start, like, just focus on that, okay? Just start funding spaceflight and fucking whatever, and education and science and all of this other stuff, and stop worrying about fighting other people in other countries. Like, stop it. Just stop it. Figure out how to make the next batteries, how to make the next version of the iPhone. Not the next version of the iPhone, but the next, like...
Yeah, whatever the next thing
the next
is.
Smartphone is,
we
or the next supercomputer.
We are a very industrious people.
I'm like, seriously, I'm like, leave us to ourselves, give us 50 years, watch what we come up with, okay? Just let us do our thing.
I mean, look what we've created in the last fucking 20 years.
Seriously, I'm like, let us do our thing. We've created the internet. Like, we've... not just us, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Obviously... everything, but I'm like so many major things in this country were created in the last 20, 30 years. I'm like,
absolutely.
An entire internet and an entire mainframe and shopping networks and just like it's just insane. Like, dude.
But I think we're in agreement that it's good that we're out of Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
You know, 20th anniversary of 9/11 coming up. It's something I'm never going to forget, and I think most Americans never will. I mean, as long as it gets taught about. I mean, it's literally our generation's Pearl Harbor. And, you know, I think as long as we keep talking about it and understanding why it happened and you know, just understanding it, understanding 9/11, understanding the war on terror, I think it's a big thing that requires an understanding to actually appreciate everything that happened. Yeah. But thanks for listening, guys. You know, we appreciate it. Again, there is merchandise available now. We have currently hoodies and
long sleeve
t-shirts. If you are interested, email us at what is it again?
How do you not know? You made the email.
Oh, fucking
no. The New Sons of Liberty 2019 at Gmail.
Right. The New Sons of Liberty 2019 at Gmail. If you are interested in any of the merch, let us know. And as always, thanks for listening, guys. And we will see you guys next time.